Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I've been talking to people about violence in schools. And people contact me and want to talk about it. And it's really, really a major issue right across this country. And it's being tamped down, as I understand, by school administrations in many cases. So I came across an op-ed in the National Post written by Dr. Paul Bennett, the founder of the Schoolhouse Institute. And the op-ed headline is, listen to this, Canada's schools have descended into a violent hell, and we let it happen. Dr. Bennett, thanks for joining us.
Good to be on your show.
So our schools nationally have descended into a violent hell. Let's begin with that before we get into that we let it happen. How bad is the violence in our schools nationally? And I'll ask you to give us an overview from 20,000 feet.
Well, the pandemic has subsided, and in its place, we've confronted an epidemic of school violence. It's being reported in every province and territory across Canada. And it comes in two forms. One is student-on-student violence, which tends to be underreported. And then the other is a student-on-teacher or student-on-staff member violence, which gets a lot more play because it's actually a very, very big part of the ongoing negotiations between teachers, school boards, and their unions. And so we've got a much more complicated situation. But in answer to your question, we have essentially an epidemic of school violence. It subsided during the period when schools were closed during the pandemic, but it is back with a vengeance.
How violent? And let's talk about the scenarios that you described to us. Student on student, student on teacher. How violent?
Well, fists and knives are far more common than guns in Canada's schools. It seems to be concentrated in the 4,700 public high schools, although the reported data gives a false impression because there's more data that's generated where it's collected in elementary schools than in secondary schools. Essentially, what happens in a secondary school is people are so intimidated they don't report it. Or students are moving from class to class and violent incidents are part of the overall structure. But getting back to your question, I think what we've got is a serious problem on two levels. One, violent outbursts and significant disruptive activities, and then low level disturbances, which we now know from studies, the average class is disrupted once every 15 minutes by some kind of disruption. So low-level disruptions on an ongoing daily basis and isolated incidents which attract the attention of the police and are ultimately ending up in the media, and then you get responses from the school districts in that order.
I have obviously more questions for you, but let me go to the second part of the headline of your op-ed. We let it happen. Explain, please.
Well, I'm quite a critic of what's happened since the abolition of the no tolerance policies. You go back to Ontario in 2007, 2008, we were told that if we got rid of no tolerance policies and we didn't really suspend or expel any students, we could have other means that we would deal with them. And we would provide support, encouragement. We wouldn't find those that are, I would say, marginalized kids suffering as a result of being unduly punished. And so we had would come in with a new strategy, and that new strategy is called positive behavior supports. Well, we now know that it's not worked. nor have other things like Pink Shirt Day. I'm sure your listeners are well aware of that because it just happened. Pink Shirt Day has been around since 2007, and it is very, very common for people to rally behind it, but it doesn't work. Experts say that any one-day project or one-day wonder, which promotes confused messages like the Pink Shirt Day, will have little or no effect. It's very, very perfunctory. So we've got a variety of things. I'm a big advocate of looking at our current student behavior policies, doing a complete review, and changing the fundamentals of the relationship between teachers, students, and parents.
So are you suggesting that we go back a few years to where there was actual consequence for ill behavior in the classroom or in the school?
I think we should go forward with an approach which balances some deterrence, which is essentially missing now, with the supports that we've developed over the last 15 years. I think we have the capacity to do better in this field, and I'm not satisfied with the explanations that the no tolerance policy was a disaster and did all kinds of harms. I think there's we threw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm not recommending going back. I'm recommending going forward with a what I call a student behavior strategy, which is a completely new approach, which combines the two things. Now, I'm also in favor of some reporting of what's going on. You realize how underreported student-on-student violence is. If you take Ontario, for example, the last time it was reviewed by CBC Investigative Unit in October of 2019, they revealed that half the reports were inaccurate. 77% of the school boards did not really report any violence or expulsions. So there's something seriously wrong with the reporting. Mm-hmm. So we have underreporting of the incidents, and then we have a problem with a lack of real deterrence or consequences. Teacher unions, for example, in the Thames Valley School Board, there's been a real pushback against what is called progressive discipline, which is essentially this, that teachers are frustrated because they will find students misbehaving, touching one another, punching one another, or threatening one another. They'll actually report it, and it goes nowhere. There's also the issue of principals and the conflict of interest they have. They want to present an image of their school as being safe and secure. So they're not really inclined to want to talk a whole lot about it. Plus, they all now insist that their school is trauma-informed. And let's take Nepean High School, where a huge issue happened in June of 2022. A mother, Sarah Murray, her son was beaten up and came home bloody. She went to the school, and they actually at first said, no, it really wasn't as bad. They kind of denied it happened. And then they took her aside and they said, well, you realize that we have a trauma-informed school here. We don't want to unduly upset the teachers or the parents or the others by talking too much about this. What I call is, this is what I think is a bigger problem, the culture of silence surrounding the level of violence in our school.
Dr. Bennett, you also point out that teachers are not as placid or maybe compliant as they might have been, certainly not all of them. Teachers are speaking out. And you write about a Twitter site or X site, Teachers Unite. Talk to us about that and what is the mood of teachers? I can't imagine wanting to go to school and teach if you're faced with daily violence, or you said every 15 minutes in a high school class in this country, there's an incident every 15 minutes on average. What about this Teachers Unite site?
I think it's symptomatic of what's going on, and that is more and more teachers and educational assistants are speaking out as they find it completely intolerable. And there are quite a number of well-publicized incidents. I referred to the Thames Valley District School Board, where Teachers Unite is kind of based. And they've been consistent.
And that's in Ontario.
The last 2 years in Ontario. They've been consistent over the last 2 years in vocalizing this. But wherever you look, in Saskatchewan, for example, last week, the Saskatchewan Teachers Federation had a press conference with four teachers who showed the injuries and actual terror that they faced in the classroom, and were claiming that they, one, left the teaching profession. Anyway, and you go to British Columbia, there's some significant issues there that are being reported. So everywhere you look, and where I live in Nova Scotia, just to give you an example, there were 12 police cruisers called to a school on February the 23rd, and everyone took pictures of it, but the school board never had a press conference, never released any information, and they said it was under a police investigation. There's nothing been reported since. So I think what there are all kinds of examples of things going on that are not really actually being dealt with publicly. A lot behind the scenes.
Yeah. I'm going to go turn this over to our callers in a few minutes. But I recall 30 years ago, we were talking about bullying in the schools. And that was a big issue. But the teachers still seem to have control, but I'll never forget, well, they seem to, but I'll never forget a call from a grade 5 teacher who told us on the air she and her family had moved, and they had moved far enough from their school, elementary school, so her grade 5 students couldn't reach her house on their bicycles. That's how concerned she was 30 years ago.
It's worse now, Rob.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's actually very common. Would you believe that in Nova Scotia, there were 13,776 violent incidents reported in 2021-22, up 22% from the year before?
Good Lord.
And that's a school, there are only 400 schools in all of Nova Scotia. There are 9,700 teachers, 140,000 students. You have 13,776 reported violent incidents? Come on.
That's insane.
And here, there are only four jurisdictions in Canada, provinces and territories, that actually collect data. And they are Ontario, which collects the data, Nova Scotia, Nunavut, and Yukon.
Okay.
Dr. Bennett, provinces don't publish any data, so you can't really get a sense of how bad it is.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.